Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled Status Quo. Chapter 31, entitled The Movements of the Living Entities. Text number 25.
Parachandam na vidusa. Pushyamano janena sa. Anavipratem apana. Anavipratem apana. Pratyakshatum anishwaraha.
Pratyakshatum anishwaraha.
Parachandam na vidusa.
Parachandam na vidusa.
Pushyamano janena sa.
Pushyamano janena sa.
Anavipratem apana.
Anavipratem apana.
Pratyakshatum anishwaraha.
Pratyakshatum.
Word to word meaning, parachandam.
Parachandam.
The desire of another.
The desire of another.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Vidusa.
Vidusa.
Understanding.
Understanding.
Pushyamana.
Pushyamana.
Being maintained.
Being maintained.
Janena.
Janena.
By persons.
By persons.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
Anabhipratam.
Anabhipratam. Into undesirable circumstances.
Into undesirable circumstances.
Apana.
Apana.
Fallen.
Fallen.
Pratyakyatum.
Pratyakyatum.
To refuse.
To refuse.
Anishwara.
Anishwara.
Unable.
Unable.
Purport. So translation and purport is given by S.S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. After coming out of the abdomen, the child is given to the care of person who are unable to understand what he wants, and thus he is nursed by such persons. Unable to refuse whatever is given to him, he falls into undesirable circumstances. Purport. Within the abdomen of the mother, the nourishment of the child was being carried on by nature's own arrangement. The atmosphere within the abdomen was not at all pleasing, but as far as the child's feeding was concerned, it was being properly done by the laws of nature. But upon coming out of the abdomen, the child falls into a different atmosphere. He wants to eat one thing, but something else is given to him, because no one knows his actual demand and he cannot refuse the undesirable given to him. Sometimes the child cries for the mother's breast, but because the nurse thinks that it is due to pain within his stomach that he is crying, she supplies him some bitter medicine. The child does not want it, but he cannot refuse it. He is put in very awkward circumstances and the suffering continues.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaramayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Sri Vishakan Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sura Devi Pranamami Hari Priye पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, this chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a very interesting chapter. Because, you know, it gives us a knowledge which we have all undergone, which we have, you know, we may not remember. But at least this gives us a knowledge of what is a jiva undergoing. So in last, you know, Kapiladev is giving this teaching. So he's giving teaching before he gives, you know, it's about Ashtanga Yoga, about Sankhya in Ashtanga in Sankhya. Then he gives about the glories of devotional service. Then he talks about the last three chapter, talks about what happened to the living entity if he is not performing devotional service and what is his consequences, how he is suffering. So, the previous chapter, it talks about how one is getting entangled by adverse fruitive activities, and by the result of that certain activities, sinful activities and reaction, he goes through all the hellish planet, and then now again, you know, he getting this opportunity, and this chapter mainly, you know, talks about the jiva as it speaks in the womb, about, you know, how it's speaking about bhakti is explained. So now I'd like to, you know, discuss the verses before the prayer of this living entity. And it is very interesting what it prays and how. And what I found interesting is that it is not much of a different what is happening inside the womb and what is happening outside the womb. Even in this purport, if you see, you can run a parallel that what we want is not, you know, we are not receiving what we want and we are forced to accept what we don't want. So that is the nature of material, you know, reality. We want happiness but we can't able to get it. We don't want suffering and problem which is forced upon us. And we can't able to understand what is the demand. And we are trying out. We are not able to understand what is our actual demand, actual need. And like a small child, we are trying out different things. That's what here, you know, the purpose is. So similarly, what the jiva undergoing inside the womb and how his prayers can, you know, actually we can apply in present scenario and condition. And it will help us to go forward in our own devotional service. So when we discuss this chapter or this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the question comes in our mind: how is it possible that the child can pray in the womb like this? How is it possible? We have this question, you know, how is it, you know, the child is praying. So most of the, you know, we have this doubt. When we progress in our spiritual path, we have this doubt. And our doubt are mostly focused on, you know, surrounded on why I should practice spirituality, rather focusing on how to practice spirituality. So, but it comes to, when it comes to material things, material aspect, our doubts are surrounded how to enjoy, how to, you know, access or how to practice material things, and not to ask question why to practice material desire, why to have material desire. So in Bhagavad Gita also says, for a doubting person, there is no happiness in this life or in next life. Yeah, doubts are good, but that doubt should increase our bhakti or is in constructive in nature. One can have doubt on how to practice and how to understand the process of bhakti, not having doubt on where is the goal or what is my relationship and that bhakti. We also know the, you know, the story of, you know, the cobbler and brahmana having doubt on Supreme Personality of God. So by then, you know, if we don't have, you know, faith on scriptures, then that is a different, altogether different scenario. So, but if we have, you know, the point that we all hear, that means we have full faith on Srimad Bhagavatam. And so the answer, you know, Srila Prabhupada writes, you know, in the purport, and the Acharya says that everything possible by the grace of the Lord. That is, by the mercy of the Lord, the living entity can pray. If you really see, everything is happening by the mercy of the Lord. The start of the verse of this chapter, that is, you know, by the super soul, by his supervision, that living entity gets this womb. And by the mercy of the Lord, we get an opportunity to get this human form of the life. And to forget the relationship also need the mercy, because Krishna says that from me comes the remembrance and forgetfulness and knowledge. And to liberate from that situation also required mercy, because when we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the covering of Maya is removed. And how do we surrender is that also, you know, the Jiva explained that the surrendering is within and without. So within is the super soul and without is the mercy incarnation, that is the spiritual master. So even, you know, in the, you know, the knowledge part is not one, you know, getting mercy, but it is by the mercy of the Lord one is getting liberated. It's not by the knowledge of the subject matter. In fact, we are all here and worshipping or, you know, praying or doing some devotional activities because of someone's mercy. Someone has desired that we will become a devotee, we want to become a devotee. Otherwise, you know, without that, then we will not be able to hear. We will not be able to sit here. So this is very important. And in fact, you know, if you analyze, I was thinking for some time that usually this knowledge or this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, creates some detachment within us. Because it gives a lot of, you know, things which is very difficult to digest in terms of, you know, what the living entity undergoing and suffering. And but if we see that without the spiritual aspect, even a living entity taking birth, that one day it's going to die. One day it's going to snap all the relationship. One day we're going to give up all the possession, asset, whatever things we have. That we don't need spiritual vision for that, but we just need common sense. But in spite of knowing that, we voluntarily enroll for entanglement into material attachment. So this is the most unfortunate part, because we know this is wrong, but still we commit ourselves. So we develop this, we naturally have to develop the detachment, and because that detachment alone is not interested what we are looking at. So that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to develop the bhakti on the impetus of detaching from this material world. So that's why this conversation helps us, because the child is suffering, but it is turning towards the Supreme Lord and, you know, praying. So just detachment will not help us, you know, will make us our heart dry. Just renouncing may not be able to get that fertility of our heart to surrender to Supreme Lord. And also we see that most part of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, does not speak about, you know, creating fear or creating detachment. But at least, you know, this little bit of detachment, little bit of fear, you know, it can help us to go in a right direction. So the child, not only that, it remembers the, you know, previous 100 birth, and he get this knowledge, and he is praying very, you know, wretchedly. And not all the souls pray. This is a commentary from Jiva Goswami. He's saying that only fortunate soul pray. And only, you know, and that too comes from, you know, previous activities and previous, you know, whatever, karma. Yeah? Only that soul, particular fortunate soul, prays to the Supreme Lord. And not only that, but there are, you know, that soul, when it gets a consciousness, when he is conscious, can worship, can become a jnani, or can also worship by bhakti. In this case, the soul is worshipping the Supreme Lord by bhakti. And then this is a situation, is there in the womb, and there is a particular mood and you know, emotion the soul is exhibiting here. As soon as it's not that, you know, that we are suffering in this material world, we know we to a certain degree, that as soon as the soul comes in contact with the material energy, it's put in a miserable condition. But then the aspect here is, Maya is so powerful, it covers us. So, and not only when we come out of the womb, there are so many people to receive us. There are friends and family, and everyone is received. The biggest person is waiting is Maya. So that, you know, Maya is waiting. We you know, when it comes out, it gives this bodily identification. That's all it does. Nothing much. Yeah? That just a bodily identification, that's it. We forget everything. When that is the, you know, if you see really, time and again, Prabhupada write, you know, you're not this body, you're a soul. You're not this body, you're a soul. Huh? But then, that is a basic foundation. If we keep us reminding that, you know, we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, then we are, you know, forced to act on a spiritual platform. But we think we are a body, then obviously we construct our castle on top of that. So that is why, you know, Maya, you know, it enamors us and gives us identification that you are this just body. When we give that, then we want to try to get happiness by satisfying this body, or at the most, we think by reducing the distress or reducing the problem, we are happy. And not only that, the another benediction of Maya is it gives the suffering body with the qualification for tolerating such terrible tortures. So when before, you know, when the consciousness comes, it gives you a particular body, just enough that you don't die, but you can tolerate. So what happens is, because, you know, the soul undergoing this, he started to repent. You know, when we are in practicing devotional service, we hear about, you know, the pastimes of the Lord. We hear about, you know, Vrindavan Leela. We hear about so many sweet. So, you know, what should I think, you know, we regret actually. You know, at least one should regret. Say, I missed that and I came here. You know, just one mistake I did, that I just envied the Lord. If at all I would have not done, I would have also experienced, you know, have fun. So when it started to repent and it's begging the super soul for relief, that's where, you know, it perceives the Lord. It attracts the Lord actually. Because if you see our materialistic life, or when we are in the material world, we get misery. At least there is someone who will make you miserable. Someone is there to give us distress. But if we don't come to the point of inquiry, and we're trying to adjust and make comfortable, then we can't able to have the repentant heart. So most of the time, you know, we want to perform bhakti at the, you know, adjusting and making things comfortable and not depending on Krishna. So we want, you know, bit of everything, and at the same time make comfortable everything, and having the idea that, you know, my bhakti will go smooth, I'll adjust everything. But that you know, that won't really make you dependent on Krishna. Yeah, it is very difficult that, you know, to cut and then, you know, to fully dependent on Krishna. But one should gradually move to that, you know, to that path. Okay, you know, that, you know, I have so many people are dependent on me. I will take care of the responsibility that I give spiritual knowledge to them, and then make, you know, spiritual, do the duty of giving spirituality to son or dependent, whoever, and then one should move on to that path of depending fully on Krishna. So when he is repentant, then what is happening is, okay, you know, he feels the sense, you know, that someone also is here in the womb. Me, I'm not alone. And that person, then he is able to realize that this person is the Supreme Lord. And he is wondering, see, I am here because of my impious activities. I am here because I have done something wrong. But why this person is here? I am laying in the, you know, stool and urine and, you know, so much filthy substance. But this person is aloof. He has not done anything wrong. He has not done anything bad. But why this person is also with me? That's where he started to find the relationship of the Lord and himself. So when we are having, you know, we are having this relationship with this material energy, we want to enjoy, we want to lord it over. When then we come to the point that, you know, I'm suffering, I want to be happy, I want to understand who you are, and we also have the description of who is Krishna, then we want to understand our relationship between ourselves and Krishna. It's a sambandha. So then the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul is realized. That I am the servant of this person and I need to surrender unto him. So this is the next stage. That he is put in the womb, he is suffering, and he is seeing another person also. And then now he is realizing this person is great. And he is like the example given in Upanishad, that the two birds are in the same tree, the same body. That one is constantly, you know, enjoying the fruits, and another bird is simply watching him. So when he turns to that person, then he is able to realize his relationship and understand that I am the servant of this person and I need to surrender. When one comes to that conclusion, then the liberation is confirmed. So that fortunate soul which is suffering, which is inquiring, and then come to that conclusion that I am the eternal servant of Krishna and all I have to do is surrender unto him, then that soul, you know, his liberation is confirmed and it's a fortunate soul. And that Atma becomes Mahatma. So you have the definition of Mahatma. So the definition of Mahatma is that Atma understanding his eternal relationship with Krishna and able want to surrender, then that Atma is known as Mahatma. So then when surrender comes, the need to surrender and how to surrender, method to achieve. So that is also given. Because the liberation begins at the point of surrender. Liberation of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, by Krishna consciousness, begins at the point of surrender. So surrender means, as I explained before, is by within and without. So within and without means, so we heard that by the mercy of Krishna, we get a spiritual master who is the external representation of the Supreme Lord, who is a mercy incarnation, that is without. So it starts from within, that by our sincere endeavor and I want to surrender, when you are sincere, then Krishna sends the spiritual master. And by the mercy of spiritual master, we get Krishna again. So, you know, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj also, that he wants to go to forest and he wants to know the Supreme Lord. By the instruction of his mother, he is going on the way, Narada Muni comes. So who sends, how Narada Muni comes there? How is it? So the Prabhupada write, because if you are sincere, then the Supreme Lord send the spiritual master to you. So the spiritual master come, that is Narada Muni, and gave the knowledge and gave him the mantra, Diksha, and then he can able to see the Supreme Lord. So within the super soul, he helps us to find the representative that is without. And then with the help of the spiritual master, we can able to attain Krishna. So the seed of Krishna consciousness is sown within the heart of conditioned soul, and when one hears instruction from the spiritual master, the seed fructifies and one life is blessed. So the seed of bhakti is planted, and by hearing and chanting
we hearing the glories of the Lord from a personal Bhagavad, we are actually watering the seed of bhakti. So one says surrender, then what interesting happens is the spirit soul is suffering but happy. He is suffering but he is happy because his consciousness is awakened. And he is suffering without complaint, at the same time grateful for his awareness. Okay, I am conscious, I am aware, the Supreme Lord, I am suffering. Now the spirit soul which is in the womb is saying, I don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. Because if I go out, then I'll identify with my body and I may not remember you. I don't want to go out. I just want to be here. So, if you see the environment, the circumstances, the situation in which the spirit soul is not a very conducive environment, is full of, you know, worms, stool, and you know, lot of miserable condition is there. So imagine, we are also here, our situation, our circumstances, our condition is not very favorable environment to practice Krishna consciousness. Because we have this as long as you know the unfavorable condition is there all the time, but by remembering Krishna or surrendering to Krishna, then this unfavorable condition remains unfavorable for us. It's not affected by that. So the lesson is that suffering is everywhere. But one should remain Krishna conscious. Then the condition is not unfavorable to him. The moment we are not Krishna consciousness, then the external kicks in. Then we are affected by the external environment, external condition, external situation. So then, if at all, okay, because he prayed, then the Lord makes an arrangement that he comes out. So if you see, when we are born, then the first thing is, we cry. That's a symptom of ignorance. We are born ignorant. To remain like that, it means we are stupid. So when we are ignorant, for example, materially, we cannot remain ignorant all the time. For if any matter, when we are ignorant, we suffer and we learn. But at the same time, we cannot be master of all knowledge, because in material world, everything is changing. There's one law that doesn't change, is the law of change. Because the material world means it's continuously going to change. There are newer and newer version. Newer and newer knowledge is coming. So many things are there. How can we master everything? We cannot know everything. So many rules and regulations, so many law, you know, even if you do any activities, if you want to know completely, it's impossible. And on top of that, we you know, usually it's a notion that we think we know everything. If anything presented, especially when it comes to spirituality, most of them think that I know. It's very difficult to give knowledge. If a person thinks that he knows, then the knowledge transfer won't happen, right? So the, you know, materially or spiritually, if one wants want knowledge, then he has to be humble. So humility, submissive, and then, you know, doing service, then the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto the conditioned soul. So that way, that goes in hand in hand, that when the person wants knowledge, he has to be humble, and the person giving knowledge, he has to be patient.
Both has to go hand in hand. If either one of them is not in proper quality exhibiting, then the knowledge transfer may not happen. So that's how, you know, when the teacher, when we are hearing, so then we are having this humble attitude, a service attitude, then the transformation of heart happens. So there was one king. He was a bit arrogant. He wants to know what is the activities of God. What is God doing every day? So he called his minister and he said, okay, find the answer. So the minister, he said, if you don't find me the answer in 1 week, I will kill you. So you have to find me the answer for this. So he said, okay, I will, send out the message. So he sent message and everything he found. Then finally he got one person. Then he asked, he said, I know, what is God doing? So he said, okay, tell me. He said, no, I won't tell you. I will tell to king only. Okay. So he took him to the king, where, full darbar was there. And then king was sitting on top. So then he asked, okay, you claim that you know the answer, what is God is doing? Okay, tell me. He said, first you have to come down. I have to sit on top. He said, what? You're telling? He said, no, you are asking question and I'm giving answer. So for a person who is asking question has to be down, and the person who is giving question has to be on top. He said, then some or other, he said, okay, I'm coming. So when they're crossing, he said, you give proper answer, otherwise I'll kill you. Make sure the answer is correct. He said, okay, I'll tell you. Then he went on top, and the king came down. Then he asked, okay, ask your question. Then he said, okay, what does God do every day? He said, God does what we do now, he does that only. He said, what do you mean by what we did now? He said, God pulls down who is pride and makes up who is humble. So that is the activities of God every day. So he said that. Then the king understood. Then, he released and rewarded him. So that's a thing, We have this personal bias that I know. On top of that, we have a bad intuition. With that, we make a decision. So, the actual ignorance is that the knowledge, in Bhagavad Gita says, the knowledge means, ignorance opposite is knowledge. We have to get knowledge. Knowledge means knowledge of, the body, the self, and the super self, super soul. That what is ourself, what is this material nature, and what is the Supreme Lord, and what is the relationship between ourself and the Supreme Lord, and what is our relationship between ourself and the material nature, and what is the relationship between the material nature and the Supreme Lord. If you see Bhagavad Gita, this is what Bhagavad Gita, it talks about five subject matter, and it also gives us a knowledge of how these five subject matter are interrelated. And also gives knowledge how we have entangled and how we can unentangle ourselves from this material nature. So a lot of knowledge is given. It will help us. So when we are identify ourselves as a body, and it is the thing is that Maya can overpower us is because we are very minute in nature. We are very small. Quantitatively speaking, we are very small, and it's easy. So it is, in Bhagavad Gita we see that this divine energy, Krishna is saying, this divine energy is very difficult to overcome. Actually, it's impossible to overcome,
But once surrender to me, then it's easy. So if sometimes, you know, if you are going to someone's house or, you know, you're going to a friend's house, and if you're going and you didn't know that your friend have, you know, a dog. So obviously when you're entering, you know, the dogs are approaching at you, want to bite you, you know, barking. So all you have to do is call out your friend's name. That's all you can do, maximum. And then when your friend came, then he can, you know, order the dog, you know, not to do anything. Right? Otherwise it's impossible for you to tackle 3 dogs. So similarly, when we are in this material world, we are always in a, you know, competition with the 3 modes of material nature. And they are very powerful. And they are 3 in number, and they are always thinking when to attack you. Who is going to give the first blow to you? So unless until we surrender to Krishna, it is impossible to overcome this. And then when he comes out, so we saw, you know, how the progression is. And then finally it says, okay, I'm coming out. I will take own responsibility to take shelter of your lotus feet. I'll take the responsibility that I will come out. How do I do it? By pure consciousness or friendly intelligence. So we hear this time and again that we are given a higher intelligence. The animals are in a difference between animal and human, that the human being have a higher intelligence. They have a higher responsibility. So they can go beyond the happiness and distress of bodily level to a spiritual level. They can elevate their consciousness. And if we are not able to use our intelligence in that aspect, then we are miser. So miser, it doesn't mean that, you know, only comes to money or, you know, wealth or asset, but it also comes to use of our intelligence. If we have a higher intelligence, if we can able to perceive higher consciousness in life, and we are still want to keep our intelligence and our plans to just to, you know, bodily demand, then we are miser. So we need to take responsibility in Krishna consciousness. The soul, you know, it's telling, I will take my own responsibility. Everyone has to fly their own flight. Unless until we desire that we want to get out of this material world, no one can help you out. Unless until we are uncomfortable with this material world, we don't want to go out. Unless until we are unhappy with this, our situation and circumstances, what we are doing, we don't want to really look for an alternative option. Krishna consciousness is a lifestyle, is an alternative lifestyle. It helps us, you know, to think, to shake us that what we are doing, okay, you know, where I'm going. With this higher intelligence, we can inquire and also understand what is my destination. So these 2 things are there. That, you know, I wanted happiness, but I'm not getting, I'm getting problem. And also I wanted, where am I going? We can understand. So if we take responsibility in Krishna consciousness, then we are, you know, helping ourselves to, you know, advance faster. So that's what the and here Prabhupada, you know, the in purport, right? We should always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into happy condition of eternal life. And there is no sufficient means to repay the personality of Godhead for his act of benediction. Therefore, we simply feel gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands. So here we, you know, we take responsibility and responsibility means one of the thing, you know, we can increase, you know, sharpen, we can come over this anarthas and everything by our spiritual intelligence. We have this tendency of controlling the material nature, lording it over, but actually we have to exhibit our controlling power on our senses and mind. So if this controlling power is not exhibited by the human being, that means controlling our senses and urges of the senses and the mind, then he is no better than an animal. If we are not able to control our senses and mind, then we are no better than animal. So that spiritual intelligence, it comes when we read shastras, when we read scriptures, when we read Prabhupada purports, that sharpens our spiritual intelligence. With the spiritual intelligence, then we get the spiritual strength to overcome the pushing of the material energy. Otherwise, it's very difficult for one's own endeavor. If you see that section of Bhagavad Gita where it discuss about the lust, so in that, you know, if you see, so the lust, sitting place of the lust are senses, mind, and intelligence, and you approach when you want a solution, you approach from gross to subtle. So first you withdraw your senses, make your senses regulated. We make a regulation and then we move on to spiritual intelligence. So with the spiritual intelligence, we get the spiritual strength to overcome this enemy. And also, so there, then in the womb, it sees there is a clear distinction that the soul sees oneself and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no concept of, you know, same. So Prabhupada, you know, writes to you know, to defeat the Mayavadi thinking. So they think that the thinking oneself, the same of the Supreme, is self-realization. They think the self-realization means understanding oneself as same as God. This is self-realization. So Prabhupada clearly, you know, cut and say that this thing, you know, here the section, the soul is actually speaking with the Supreme Lord. This actual self-realization is that seeing oneself and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is, God realization goes with self-realization. You cannot have that both separate entity. That both goes hand in hand. When we realize Krishna, then we can realize our eternal position. When we understand Krishna, then we can understand ourselves. So these are the prayers of the soul within the womb. So I'll just conclude and then, you know, see if any question. The soul, you know, gets a body, gets a particular womb by the arrangement of the Lord. But the mercy, we discussed about the mercy component. And then this soul is very fortunate because he worships the Supreme Lord by bhakti, not by any other method. And then certain particular mood is being exhibited by their soul, that he is suffering, he is undergoing so much of distress, but then he is tolerating because the Maya or external energy has given a particular body, and then he becomes repentant because he understood his position and he is seeing there is another person also is there, and he wants to surrender unto him, and he realizes his relationship. So surrendering, we saw how one can surrender, that by the help of the super soul we get the spiritual master. And then he doesn't want to go out because he thinks the condition here is good, because he is in Krishna consciousness even though external situations are miserable. But outside, external situation is miserable, but he may not remain Krishna consciousness because Maya gives the bodily identification. So because of this fear, he doesn't want to go out. But then, because, you know, pain, he comes out The Lord arranges us. Once he comes out, he is in ignorance. We discussed about how, you know, ignorant and what we have to do. Then finally, he says, I will take responsibility for my own Krishna consciousness. That is, I'll take shelter of your lotus feet by friendly intelligence of your consciousness. So Prabhupada, you know, translate that word in two different ways. So we saw how we can develop intelligence, spiritual intelligence, by reading and scriptures. I'll stop here and see if any questions, comments or corrections. Yes, sir. No, they don't realize there is super soul and soul. They think soul is super soul. There is no question of realizing and all. Like, Paramatmavadi, that is different from Mayavadi. They don't realize the aspect of the Lord within the heart. Their thing is that I am God, and I have to realize that I am God. And one stage I'll do that. For that, I will worship certain. There are five demigods are there. I'll worship demigod, I'll worship God. I'll do that till I realize that stage. Once I realize, I don't need them. So that is their self-realization. For us, you know, it says in Bhagavad Gita, he is our, you know, observer, he is a permitter, he is a sanctioner, and he is a maintainer. How does he look? Yeah, he is a 400 spiritual form, Vishnu form, Sirodakshai Vishnu. So we have a different Purusha avatar, and the size is mentioned, it's the size of a thumb. And he is situated in the heart, in the core of the heart, along with the super soul, so along with the soul. So in the region of heart, you see, you know, soul and super soul is there. Yeah, the super soul is one. It's not that, you know, super soul is like, you know, like so many super souls are there. Not like that. He is one, but at the same time he is present everything. He is present not only within the atom, he is present outside the atom also. So we see, you know, the material things to held up, you know, that also they need the sanction of super soul for material energy. So he is present means his energies are there. Right? His energies are there everywhere pervading. He is all pervasive, you know, super soul everywhere, but he is one. So, but then he is like, you know, the example of Prabhupada gives a king. King is one, but his energy is there in all department. Everyone is working for the king, but doesn't mean that king is all there in all the department. Right? So his energy, like sun is there. Sun has two energies, heat and light. If the two energies are there, then it's called sun. So sun, you know, if you want to know the sun, it's not possible to bring the sun inside the room. We know that there is, you know, his light is there all pervading. So, you know, so like that, there is one person, but he's pervaded in all. So similarly, the super soul is there in each and every atom. So to hold this, you know, to this chair or building, everything, you need the sanction of the super soul. Otherwise, it's very difficult for the material nature. So to lift our hand, we desire, but then the super soul sanction the material nature to lift our hand. I mean, you know, even if you desire and if you have a paralysis, you cannot do it. So there are a lot of other factors are involved in any activity. So the super soul is a very key role. That is a 25th element. So, you know, in this one of the section, it's mentioned in one of the purport that this bhakti helps us to focus the 25th element, that is super soul. This Sankhya is all about analysis and material, you know, component and division and numbers. So with that 24 element, including the, you know, soul, and then 25th element is the super soul. So without him, then this 24 element, you know, what is the use to without knowing him? So he works in such a way that, you know, he is a witness for all the activities, and he only, you know, by his arrangement that we enter the womb. That's what the first verse, you know, in this chapter talks about. And more details also is there in 13th chapter. If you are, you know, keen, you can read that section of Bhagavad Gita. Right. Sure. Yeah. No, they want some alternative thing. That's what, you know, they have everything. They had everything. It's not that they are, you know, rich and poor people are, you know, they don't have anything. Or they have money, they have house, and they have, but they are frustrated with the way, you know, they need some alternative thing. Huh? Right? And when Prabhupada came, for Prabhupada, you know, it's a different thing. It's a different ball game, actually. You know, I was thinking that, you know, the soul comes out and may not be Krishna consciousness or, you know, thing like that. But Prabhupada, you know, explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the number one non-devotee is dog. Prabhupada says, yeah, dog. He is the number one non-devotee. Because he doesn't, you know, realize the Tulsi plan or something like that. And then Prabhupada writes, but we know even the dog can be liberated in this path of Krishna consciousness. We had Sivananda Sen, who was traveling to Jagannath Puri with a group of devotees, and there was one dog, and, you know, because of the association, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he liberated, he went back to Godhead. So even a dog can become a devotee. Then Prabhupada writes, we have known so many debauchees or so many, Prabhupada, so many rascals or something like that he writes in the Prabhupada, that they all become saint. They all become saint. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the merciful incarnation. So there is no reason that we will not, you know, become devotee or something. So That is a special mercy quota we are in, actually. You know, I forgot to tell that part, that when your mercy, our perfection is also through mercy only. So then the Prabhupada, when he was there, he moved into Bauri. That step itself inconceivable for many people. You know, they say, you know, you can't understand this, you know. They, you know, so many people give talk, you know, they say, how can you do this? That's a lower side of, you know, East Bauri area. One is moving into that, means that itself inconceivable for them. And when they come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, they're very sincere to Srila Prabhupada. That's what made them a pure devotee, you know, because they're very sincere to Srila Prabhupada. And when they were sincere, then they got Krishna. You know, then Prabhupada used to say that, you know, that you are all, you know, sent by my Guru Maharaj to help in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are all associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to, you know, say. So we don't know. They are all, you know, certain mission. And they had a sincere inclination. They want to understand. They want to, you know, okay, different way. I want to try it out. In fact, then when Prabhupada came, that time the devotees went to India to search for spirituality, and they came back and they met Srila Prabhupada and they became devotee. You know, most of the Maharajas, sannyasis, you know, they were in the search of God. They want to know about God. They traveled. So many people want to know. And they met, you know, Srila Prabhupada. Because they are sincerely want to know about God, want to know about alternate life, they're frustrated, then they come in contact with devotees. Not that everyone comes in that way, because Krishna, you know, says the distress who take up the process is one way, but there are other ways also, who want wealth, who want knowledge, who want inquisitive. Right? The four people who come to me. So, you know, there are different people, you know, different ways they come in. So, we, you know, the more focus should be that we are coming to contact with devotees and into Krishna consciousness, yeah. But then, some or other we come. But we need to understand what is the ulterior goal or, you know, some certain motivation, certain things we have come into the process, okay. Certain, we want some certain material reward or material things or spiritual, or doesn't matter. Certain, because of certain, you know, things we have come. Now you are in the process, so understand what is the, you know, actual reward or actual process of this, you know, Krishna consciousness, and then align yourself. Because you still have that, then once it's satisfied, it will get satisfied. It will get be, you know, so many people take up Krishna consciousness, maybe they want a job or they want a better material comfort or, you know, pangs, misery from the pangs, you know, they want some, you know, relief. But they will get it eventually after a certain time. But then after that, they are confused because they don't know what to do. Then they'll go back to the old habits or they'll leave it. So then that time, you know, we need to understand, okay, somehow or other we come, you know, different way Krishna has brought us. But now what Krishna wants us to do? If we understand that, then we can. Thank you. Yeah, doubt arises from intelligence, you know, we can go on doubting. You know, that certain you can, you know, doubt everything and anything. There is no limit to it, right? But we should understand that certain things get revealed in the duration of time. Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, the you know, lady wants a child. Yeah, you know, certainly you will get child, but you have to wait for 9 months or 10 months. You can't, you know, cry or anything. You just have to continuously be chaste and serve the husband. Yeah, definitely you will get a child. So similarly, that when you have a doubt or anything, just be patient and allow the process to work, and over the period of time, the doubt get itself, you know, clarified. And also, you know, doubt and being intellectual and logical is one thing to certain thing, but after certain, you know, you are, you know, bhakti is not about, you know, logical or analytical conviction or how you understand everything, right? It's about the connection, it's about the emotions of what you're undergoing and connection with God. That is bhakti. We are not into, you know, Sankhya or analytical kind of, you know, understanding and trying to present every logical. This is the problem with science, no? Scientific, they want everything like that, you know, like that. Yeah, it is a scientific process, but then we need to apply perfectly and correctly, and then it will, over a period of time, our doubts and everything get clarified. But if we just doubting everything and anything, then, you know, we are constant flux. We are not, you know, settled. Our consciousness is not very clear. You know, we are doubting, and Krishna says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, because you are my friend and you are my devotee, I am giving this knowledge to you. So many people read Bhagavad Gita, so many people, but they are not devotee. They become devotee because they are not first, you know, accepting that Krishna is the supreme, and they are envious of Krishna. They are having so many doubt. Why Krishna is a normal human? Why I should listen to Krishna? Krishna is not there anyway. So if this mood, you know, so we can doubt that initial only. So we can, you know, doubt in the first only. Oh, why I should you know, take this? Then, you know, it becomes making worse for us. But, you know, when we are having a process,
And we that's what I told you, you know, when we have a process and we have a doubt how to do the process to achieve Krishna, then that's a healthy doubt. We're chanting, we can ask doubt on chanting, okay, how do I chant nicely? Where do I, what time to chant, when to chant, like this, or, you know, how to perform devotional service, how to do this service, how to exercise our, you know, intelligence, how to, you know, so many things, you know, how we are asking how, then that is a healthy sign of intelligence. That is my, if anyone wants to add, can add. Yeah, this is human body. This is human. This is human particularly. Because he first initially he prays and thanks that you gave this body. Thank you, you know, like, because he is coming from Andhra Tamisha hell. This soul particular in this section what we are discussing is coming from a particular hell. He has undergone so many of difficulties and, you know, he has glided down to that path and is coming by, you know, arrangement of the Lord. Again he is getting a chance. And he also knows 100 previous birth also. So, you know, it's interesting. And this is a particular human. That's why in the finishal also there are four ways, you know, one can take birth. Prabhupada also write that through embryo to perspiration to egg and to flesh. So this is particular human. So.
Yeah. So this particular soul, even though he was praying so nicely, but then later we will see that condition again. So then one may question that, what is my chance in the sense now I'm already out in this material world. So what is my chance that I will successfully finish this goal, this human form of life? How we can see this?
Yeah, if we say that this, how do we get to that goal of, you know, or Krishna prema, or what is your?
Yeah, going back.
So we have this knowledge, we prayed and everything, but by coming in contact with devotees, we get reminded. We get reminded of the previous, you know, whatever we have done. That's why when come in contact with devotional service, he start from where he left. And not all souls are praying like this. There's a fortunate soul, you know, who is fortunate and because of previous activities and everything, he is getting reminded in the womb and he's praying. And when he comes out, he is reminded. For example, you know, Sukhdev Goswami, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, he doesn't want to come out, right? When he comes out, he walks. But then by the verses of, you know, Vyasdev, he get reminded and then he get attracted. Then he, you know, he becomes a pure devotee. So when you come in association of devotees, then that previous things are getting reminded and we can able to perform bhakti. That is my understanding. So association is very important.
Just one more question.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, so Prabhupada given a process that chant 16 round and 4 regulative principle. He said this is self enough austerity. We don't have to do much. We don't have to do extra anything. This is enough to get us back to God, or, you know, to get the goal. A second, you know, one can get benefit even if he's jokingly or if he's criticizingly or for, you know, he is chanting the holy name. He does get the benefit. But then, one, you know, we have this chanting as a positive aspect of devotional service, and we have a negative aspect that is four regulative principle, that we don't. There is do and there is don't. If we slacken the do, then the don'ts will affect us. Previous conditioning, previous thing will come back again. So we cannot be complacent on our positive aspect of devotional service. Then the negative aspect kicks in. So we have to work on that. So, you know, I read one article, Sankarshan. So Adhikari Prabhu was saying that everyone, you know, if you want to get, you know, for example, if you want, everyone knows cricket, but to get into Indian cricket team, you need to work hard. Everyone can play cricket like that. So similarly, everyone can chant. But to get love of Godhead, the medium to how you get love of Godhead is through chanting. And if we want the love of Godhead, then we have to work on our chanting. If you want prema, then we have to work on our services. We have to work on the positive aspect of devotional service. Then we can get that. Otherwise, we wanted the result without undergoing the process. So that is sagajiyas. So that is like we want the salary but not to work. So that is not the idea of us. We hear that, you know, chanting, we hear about the symptoms, or we hear about the purification, everything, but we have to really work on that. Consciously making effort that I will do this, so that I can able to progress in my spiritual life. Motivation is there to do certain devotional service, but at least theoretically, consciously, we have this effort. Okay, I'll do this. You know, to that is how, you know. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I'll finish here. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.